across to the US, Ron Elving is a senior editor and correspondent, Washington Desk for NPR News. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Good to be with you. Good to be with you.
We had a huge amount of coverage here, as you can imagine, of the 9/11 20th anniversary, clearly deeply emotional for the nation.
We are spent, I would say, emotionally from the recollection. This 20 years has been not just that period of time, but somehow it has had a kind of milestone quality to it. And largely, of course, that has to do with Afghanistan, because we went immediately into Afghanistan after 9/11, driven, seeking revenge against Al-Qaeda, stayed to drive out the Taliban, stayed to try to build some sort of a country there, some sort of a nation and a Western model. We failed, and that sense of failure is quite keen in the country today. And that obviously was an overlay on all of the tragic recollections of 9/11 and all the remembrances of the nearly 3,000 people we lost that day.
I mean, a difficult time, really, for President Joe Biden in many ways. I mean, the impression we got here was that he was very respectful. He didn't want to give the big speeches. He stood back and let the people who were affected by 9/11 have the microphone and speak. But as you say, in the back of all of this is what's happened in Afghanistan.
That's right. And, of course, he did not want to have the focus on himself, largely for that reason. Not to say that it wasn't also perhaps a wise move to step back and let others take the spotlight. Interestingly, the one president who did speak other than to the actual recollection events this Saturday was George W. Bush, who had been president at the time, and so, of course, was the most appropriate person to speak, but also the person most held responsible by more Americans than any other, a plurality of Americans, for what happened in Afghanistan, what happened in Iraq. So he was, in a sense, remembering his heroic moments at the time of 9/11, but he also delivered a message that clearly was aware of all that has transpired, and also linking the terrorism of 9/11 to the domestic terrorism that he and many others see in this country. That was George W. Bush speaking on Saturday. And the other presidents who were present, Bill Clinton was also there. Barack Obama was also there for some of these recollections, and they did not speak either.
Ron, earlier in the program today, we were talking about vaccine passports. These are being considered, I think almost certainly will be brought in New Zealand, and looking around the issues, human rights issues, data privacy issues, that kind of thing. What's happening in the US at the moment with vaccination mandates?
President Biden has issued mandates for the federal government, for the military. He has urged all businesses with more than 100 employees to respect a rule that's now being written by the Department of Labor to tell them they should be mandating that all their employees be vaccinated before they come back to work. Now, if they're going to stay home, if they can work from home, that's another matter, but they can't come back to a common workplace unless they've been vaccinated. So that is hugely controversial. As you may imagine, in this country, people value their individual rights, their individual assertion of their freedoms. And so while the majority of adults in this country has been vaccinated, there is still about a 25-30% remnant that does not wish to do so and is being quite forcefully resistant. So this is going to go on as a critical problem for us, trying to impel or compel compliance on the part of such a large portion of the population. Sadly, it is most common, this resistance, in exactly those places where the Delta variant is spiking and overcrowding hospitals to the point where they turn away cardiac patients from the intensive care unit. So this is a tragedy, really, that this pandemic of the unvaccinated is visiting such sorrow and such loss on those very same parts of the country.
Do you get a sense that the government has a plan to address this?
There is a plan to continue with more of the mandating of masks, mandating of vaccines, and also with an encouragement of booster shots. Now, this is a point of some contention at the moment, the Centers for Disease Control, very respected federal agency, but one that is overwhelmed and has been conflicted over the course of the past year and a half, has been less certain that boosters are really necessary, has not been pushing them as strongly as the White House. The White House wants to get people started getting their booster shots if they've already been fully vaccinated after a certain number of months. They want to get them started as of next week, September 20th, 1 week away. So they are urging this to go forward swiftly, and the Centers for Disease Control is kind of tapping the brake a little bit, as are some other medical experts, suggesting maybe that isn't necessary for everyone in the general population, maybe just the most vulnerable.
Have they been talking? I mean, we've had this conversation here, so it looks like our booster shots from next year will be a different vaccination to the Pfizer, which is the only vaccination we've used here in the country. Has there been conversation about the booster shots and whether they should be the same or a different vaccine?
My understanding is that they are urging you to get a booster shot if you believe in booster shots, and it's probably best to get the same one that you initially got, but that is not absolutely necessary. So if you got Moderna, you probably want to prioritize getting Moderna, but it isn't absolutely necessary that it be Moderna or, in some sense or another, damaging or inimical to your health to do so. But even there seems to be some uncertainty, and that's possibly one of the main reasons that people are having problems with the booster phase of this. And then, of course, the anti-vax people are saying, see, you don't even know what you're talking about when it comes to booster shots, so we're not going to listen to anything you say.
We've only got a couple of minutes, but I did want to talk about this. I think there will be no surprise that there are now battles in courts over state-passed anti-abortion laws and voting restrictions. Bring us up to date on this, if you would.
The federal Department of Justice is entering into the fray to try to prevent the Texas anti-abortion law from taking effect. Now, this is a law that includes, as you probably know, a kind of vigilante provision or a sue thy neighbor provision whereby ordinary citizens are offered rewards for identifying persons who have either had an abortion or abetted in an abortion or driven someone to an abortion. And that sort of activity, that sort of setting people at each other's throats, seems rather outside the pale. So most legal authorities think that that's going to get knocked down at some point or another, and that whatever other restrictions in Texas may survive, that particular one will not survive in court. There's also, of course, just the basic idea that prohibiting abortion after any time after 6 weeks means roughly half or more than half of all the people who eventually want to seek an abortion would not even know they were pregnant at the point where it became illegal for them to have one. So that, too, is going to undergo some legal examination. And as I say, the Federal Department of Justice has decided to enter the case against the state of Texas.
Who are the experts predicting will win?
At this point, it is very hard to read because the Supreme Court has made a preliminary pass at this Texas law. They gave it a bit of a sort of cautionary flag and said it can go into effect and then we will hear more cases brought on the basis of the actual law once it's in effect. So we would expect that in the new term, which begins next month, they will be hearing cases about it. But thus far, they had one opportunity to block it from even going into effect and they didn't take it.
Thank you very much, Ron Elving, our U.S. correspondent.